is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Joseph Felter and Admiral Gary Roughead of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at Strategica, about a scenario that is not here. It's in the future. This is the annexation, conquest, complete destruction. There are many verbs here. Of Taiwan by the People's Republic of China. The imminent, the distant, the possible. And Joseph Felter and Gary Roughead have entertained what this means and in preparation anticipated what this means for the people of Taiwan, for the people of East Asia, for the people of planet Earth, because this would not be an event that would end easily. It would end hard. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. I ask your opening remarks address your point of view as you approach this. Of course, Admiral Roughead was Chief of Naval Operations, and he has many detailed remarks about the forces arrayed, possible now and in future. And Joseph Felter is a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, but importantly, the William J. Perry Fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation. So, Joe, I begin with you on the diplomacy of this matter. You know that in his recent remarks celebrating the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, the president for life of the People's Republic of China and the Communist Party, made disparaging remarks or threatening remarks or mysterious remarks about Taiwan. How did the diplomats, how did the historians hear those remarks? Good evening to you, Joe.
Well, you know, John, first of all, thanks for the chance to join you, and it's certainly an honor to be with Admiral Roughead, as always. So, you know, very disturbing, but not surprising. I mean, there's no more important policy priority for China, and certainly Xi personally, than, you know, the annexation of Taiwan, you know, by force if necessary. So the diplomats look at that by, wow, China's capabilities are growing, you know, decades of investment in military modernization, increase in defense budgets. They are, some would argue that they haven't attacked Taiwan yet because they don't think they can, and when they think they can, look out. So we should all be concerned. They're on a trajectory to develop that capability, and you know the window is now to try to make sure that the costs are still considered too high by China to ever even think about that eventuality.
Joe, what is the realist school of international diplomacy? How do I identify that in the Taiwan possibilities?
Thanks, John. You know, realism, you know, I taught international relations at West Point and at Stanford, and it comes down to that states can't depend on anyone else to help them. And you know, if they're going to defend themselves, you know, the onus is on them to invest in their own capabilities to defend themselves. So there's a term called self-help. So in the case of Taiwan, sure, they want to have relationships. They want to have a close relationship with the United States. We have the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979. We commit to defending Taiwan. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to be the ruler of a country like Taiwan and have to depend on a foreign government's leader like the United States to come to your aid. You want to hope they do. But you look throughout history, you know, alliances and pacts and agreements, they're always broken. So at the end of the day, Taiwan needs to have their own capabilities to defend themselves against China. And the best thing that the U.S. can do is help them develop those capabilities so they can defend themselves and make it clear to China that they can't realistically ever calculate that they can successfully annex Taiwan by force.
Admiral, you were the 29th Chief of Naval Operations after holding many commands, and you approached Taiwan with a very helpful series of metrics. And I want to start there because the first metric is profound for those of us who think about history. It's geography. What does the metric of geography tell us about the ambitions of the People's Republic of China and the ability of Taiwan to help itself and allies to help Taiwan help itself? Good evening to you, Gary.
Good evening, John, and as always, good to be with you. And I really appreciate the opportunity to team up with Joe on this. You know, I've been watching Taiwan for a long time. In fact, in 1996, when the U.S. responded to some misbehavior by the mainland. I was commanding a cruiser that was in that response. And so Taiwan has been a very real operational issue for me as I continued on through my career. But having spent a lot of time in the Pacific, I think that one of the things that we miss, right, by we, I mean the U.S., is just the vastness of the space there. And in the piece that I wrote for Strategica, I talk about the fact that the area around Taiwan where we'd be operating is essentially about two Mediterranean seas. The military equation in the Western Pacific has changed since 1996. China's military has grown. They've reformed. They've enhanced their command and control. Obviously, they enjoy a distance advantage, being that the strait is only about 110 miles across, and the bases from which the U.S. and anyone else who would join in would have to operate are in the hundreds of miles away. And in the case of reinforcing from the U.S. mainland, we're talking thousands of miles. And so I think it's important that we look at those geographic realities. I think we too often neglect that. And then the other thing that's changed is just the economic power and influence that China has in the region that would further hamper a response by the U.S. and other countries who may want to respond to preserving that important democracy that exists on the island of Taiwan.
One way to approach geography, Gary, is to just say, listen, it's East Asia. It's an island off the coast of China. It's what they call their 10th province. There's nothing to be done. Is that a thinking that's going on anytime now or has in the past when China's threatened Taiwan?
Well, I'm sure that there are some who think along those lines, but I would submit that, you know, we have some agreements with Taiwan. I also believe that from a moral standpoint, as I alluded to earlier, Taiwan is a vibrant democracy and an energetic society. And I think that we and others should think of it in that way and be willing to support their desire to continue to exist as a democratic society. And I would also say that just in recent days, we're seeing some changes coming out of Japan with regard to their commentary on the importance of Taiwan and how Japanese security is entwined with that. So I do think that where there are some who may say, well, this is just too hard a problem, I would submit that the fact that Taiwan is being talked about more is a very helpful thing because it allows a discussion and a debate within our society to take place as to what are some of the things that we should be thinking about vis-a-vis Taiwan.
Joe, the annexation of Crimea by the Russian Federation, brutally done, swiftly done, now fait accompli according to Moscow. Is that a model for what we're looking at in Taiwan? Do historians think that one annexation looks like the next?
Well, you know, John, back to the realism school of international relations we discussed earlier. You know, I think one of the classic cases of political realism is way back in the 5th century of B.C., when the history of the Peloponnesian War, when the Melians of the island of Melos were basically subjugated by the Athenians. And there's a great line from Thucydides that says that the strong do what they can and the weak suffer what they must. So Crimea, you know, the weaker suffered what they must at the hands of a superior Russian force. So I think it's a good example. Again, no matter who committed to maybe coming to the aid of, let's say, Crimea or any other country, at the end of the day, countries can't depend on alliances and agreements, and that strong will do what they can, and the weak, if they're going to have to suffer. So Crimea is one example, and there's just many, many throughout history. You know, I don't want to say that the U.S. isn't going to honor its commitments in Taiwan. I am confident that we will, but it behooves Taiwan to develop its capabilities so it can protect itself and defend itself.
Self-help means that we need to look at Taiwan's resources right now in the early 21st century. I'm speaking to Admiral Gary Ruffhead, United States Navy retired, and Joe Felter, who are both at the Hoover Institution writing a Strategica. It's online through the Hoover sites. about what is to be done in anticipation of the threats, the repeated threats by Xi Jinping and his kindred of Cane to conquer, to annex, to brutalize the people of Taiwan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.